Today's Green Visions is a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items. Well, folks got to see for the second year in a row the ice caves at the Apostle Islands this year. It was cold enough for ice, but it wasn't so impossibly cold that it was agony to go out there, kind of the way it had been the year before. And the Apostle Islands said, you know, we got to do something just a little bit different. Joining us on the phone this morning is Bob Krumenacher. He's the National Park Superintendent at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Bob, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Lisa.
So has it been fun for you guys a little bit to have so many people flocking out there to enjoy the ice caves over the winter?
It's amazingly exciting. It's fun. It's also pretty stressful and challenging for us. But I will tell you that for a little bit in the winter of 2014, Apostle Isles National Lakeshore was the most popular park, national park in the United States on the Internet. And we were seeing visitors from all over the world, and we did media interviews in prime time across the world. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was. And so you were able to, you know, post Facebook messages to your family and friends, and NBC called Neener, 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 I'm famous. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, I got an email from a friend in Australia who said he saw me on his television show.
Wow. Fantastic. The one thing that was a little bit of a challenge, other than, you know, being an idiot not dressing properly, which I had done the first year thinking, oh, well, how bad could it be, and learning, was parking was really a challenge. There's a kind of a small parking lot there, and then folks were parked up and down the highway for, like, miles. So when it got to be good ice cave weather again this year, you folks said, hey, we need to do something different. How did that come about?
Well, we were totally surprised in 2014. No one had anticipated the cold weather. Climate change has reduced the amount of ice that we've seen up here. We hadn't seen safe ice cave access since 2009. So, and even when we had, no more than 10,000 people over the course of a winter had ever visited. So the numbers of people were totally unexpected. Of course, the infrastructure is designed for the summer kayak use, not for these massive numbers of people. So even in 2014, with the help of many, many other agencies and people in this community and other national parks in the Midwest, we scrambled and made it work. And in fact, the local transit outfit, which is run by the local governments, called BART, Bay Area Rural Transit, they instituted a shuttle to parking lots in Cornucopia and one further to the east. And that helped a lot. But we knew that we could never claim surprise after that. So we spent a lot of time between 2014 and 2015 planning how we would manage it better. We were able to get BART to work again, although this time only from Cornucopia. But one of the big issues in 2014 was the fact that the only cost recovery opportunity that we had was a parking fee, which again had been designed for summer use. So only about 50 cars can fit in that parking lot, and then maybe another 100 cars along the road. So the vast majority of those people who parked along the highway were not responsible to pay any fees to us. And so we went deep in the hole financially in 2014, and we worked hard to change that in 2015.
So the idea was to apply a parking fee that hadn't been imposed before. What was the money used for?
Well, let me correct that a little bit. There had been a parking fee, but we instituted, with public involvement over the ensuing year, what we call a special event fee, which basically was a per-person fee only applicable to adults. So regardless of whether you parked physically inside the National Lakeshore or not, in 2015 we asked you to pay $5 a head. And people were very, very willing to do it. The overwhelming support that we got was pretty incredible. But it basically covered the cost of bringing in rangers from other areas, a lot of overtime for the year-round staff. We brought in about 18 portable toilets. We had to do a lot of snow plowing. When it was all over, we had to do a lot of re-landscaping and rebuilding the stairways. So basically, it covered the costs parts of the program, where in 2014 we had to be bailed out by the National Park Regional Office in Omaha, much to their chagrin, where this year we broke even and even cleared a little bit of money that we can turn back into preparation for 2016.
Well, you realize that they were just jealous.
Well, you know, everybody in the federal government is hurting these days financially, so people don't like paying taxes, and budgets have been very, very flat. And of course, going into 2014, people forget, but that was right after the federal government shut down and sequestration. So we were going into the worst or maybe second worst budget year that the national park had ever had, and yet then that was followed by the largest increase in visitation the park had ever had. So there was a huge disparity in the finances.
Well, I'd like to revisit again the idea that, for the most part, folks were happy to pay that fee, because when you go out there, obviously, it's really cold. There aren't amenities, well, except for, of course, the facilities. There aren't really any amenities, and you don't really see anyone. And so I wondered if folks might go, wait a minute, I'm out here trudging out here all by myself in the cold, and I don't really need any, you know, help. I'm not really, you know, what am I paying for?
Well, I don't think it's really a fair statement to say you don't see anyone. You see lots and lots of other visitors. You see,
oh, boy, that's for sure.
You see lots of rangers and other people in uniform helping to park cars. You see last year 18 portable toilets. You see several snowmobiles there with EMTs. You see the ice marked out there. There's a huge presence of the National Park Service and other agencies that are helping to make this natural event a safe event for the large number of people who come.
And that's the thing that I think maybe you don't always notice. You can, you know, you're kind of tunnel vision. I'm on my way out to see the ice caves, and you don't look around and see all the other folks, support folks that were there to make the, like you say, to make the experience safe for people.
There were a few people who complained on Facebook, but virtually no one in person. I think the people who were unhappy simply didn't come, to be honest. But nature, it's true, doesn't cost anything to make ice caves, but nature didn't cost anything to make the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone either. But in order to manage people, the human waste and the safe parking and the medical emergencies, it takes a behind-the-scenes effort. So we got very, very good feedback. People were really happy. I mean, one of the coolest things is that despite the brutally difficult weather in 2014 and the still often tough winter conditions in 2015, people loved it, and they're smiling, and they're happy, and they're that's infectious, and that certainly affected our staff, and our staff was smiling, and that helped them. So this was a win-win.
Everybody
felt it was a good experience, and so, you know, this is, I remind my staff, this is the coolest thing we've ever done. It's also the hardest thing we've ever done, but it's what the public loves this park for.
Well, it was it's a remarkable experience, and I'm so glad that I went in 2014, kicked myself around the block for not going in 2015, and you know, when you stop and think about it, you're out there and you're toddling across the ice and you look down and you realize you're standing on the lake. And knowing that there are people available to fish you out should something happen is a very comforting thought, Bob. It really is.
Well, I appreciate that. The staff works really hard, and the public appreciation certainly makes our job a little bit easier.
Well, let us hope that, not that it freezes over now so that people can enjoy the ice caves, but let us hope that next winter we have that opportunity again, because it's really spectacular.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is that despite two pretty cold years, the long-term climate change predictions are still quite solidly predicting less ice in the future. So one of the sound bites I used on the national TV in 2014 still holds, which this is an endangered national park experience. And so if we are lucky, or some people would think unlucky enough, to get the polar vortex again in 2016, come out and see it, because it's probably not something you're going to be able to do on a regular basis in the future.
Bob, thank you again so much for joining us this morning. And I hope that today it's lovely and warm where you are.
Well, it is lovely. It's in the 50s. And, you know, after the cold winter, we're really enjoying that, Lisa.
Sounds great. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Bob Krumenacher joined us this morning. He is the National Park Superintendent at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore.